didn't realize we could have done a leprechaun or leprechaun episode.
Yes, we absolutely could have.
It's sad that we didn't. We missed that opportunity.
I know. We're going to have to do some like crazy Easter killer bunny stories or something. I don't know.
We're running out of time for that too, even. What the hell is that? It's off to a great start already.
Yep.
Typical Parable Return.
It's working good.
Yep.
Working good.
Great. Is this theme song still going? Yeah.
I forget how long it is.
It's like over a minute. Okay. So, it's been like, what, 3 months?
Yep.
Since there was an episode?
Yep.
Slackers.
Parallel Universe had every episode come out on time.
We're up to episode like 500.
We are.
Parallel Universe.
Yep. We never miss one there.
We never miss one. It's every week.
Yep. Routine. And they're amazing.
Yeah.
And so many people like them.
Yeah, not just one.
They have sponsorship in the Parallel Universe.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, you know, we don't do it for the fans.
I wonder why. We should, though. Like I said, we have one.
We do.
At least one.
Yeah.
Dedicated fan.
Shout out to the fans.
Fans.
maybe more than one.
Mm-hmm.
So we're back.
Yep.
Back in the saddle.
We are.
Is that what they say?
I guess so.
Back in the saddle, riding some horse into the Parababble sunset.
Sitting at a, I don't know, table tipping.
This is so good. Yeah. We're already so off topic, and it's only been the first 30 seconds of the show.
That's what we do.
Yeah. So when we had to get back into it, it was like, well, can we pick a topic that we can just talk about? So
yeah.
We don't have to make it hard on ourselves.
Yeah, because we don't want to do research. What fun is that?
I know. But then I was like, well, what are we going to talk about for this long? Because
it's be like a 10-minute episode.
We have not table tipped in a long time.
We haven't been anywhere.
Right.
Table tip.
But at one point, we were going to make tour shirts for all the table tipping tour we went on.
We were. That's like a tongue twister.
Table tipping tour?
I forgot that we were going to do that.
Yes, because we had table tipped in so many places.
Different states.
Yep.
Different countries.
Yeah. Like right? some famous places.
Yeah.
You know, all the way to like non-famous places.
Like the basement of a library.
Yeah. Or somebody's abandoned house that they had moved out of.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. That's even less famous.
Yeah. Like, no one knows about it.
Library was cool, though.
It was. So, I guess we're going to recount some of our more favorite table tipping stories. And, of course, I'm going to make you talk about how you thought it was crap the first couple times you did it, because I feel like we have to discuss that. But table tipping, also known as table turning, table tilting, table moving, table tapping, is really a type of seance. They hate this. Do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
We were just talking about Ghostbusters, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Squirrel brain. But it's a type of seance or a type of people, you know, also say it's like physical mediumship. But you don't have to be a medium to do it.
No.
No, you can be a normal, everyday, regular person.
So I could table tip right now?
Yeah, you could.
This table right here?
We could if we really wanted to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's a chupacabra under there, so I don't know if it's a good idea. It'd probably scare him.
There's not a lot of space here either.
No.
We've been known to have to run after tables.
Yeah.
Which is so crazy now that I'm saying it, but it was like such an everyday occurrence.
I'm too old and out of shape to do something like that now.
It was like pretty tiring.
Yeah. Especially when it was like 3 a.m.
Yeah. So table tipping has been around for a long, 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 long time, but it didn't really become popular until the Fox sisters out in Hydesville, New York, started table tipping and doing it in public as part of their demonstration of their abilities. Yeah, you just did the air quotes. I said that. So the Fox sisters are famous for the cottage that they grew up in. There's, you know, the story about the salesman that came and maybe disappeared and was buried in the walls, or whether it was the devil that came and visited them, or whatever you want to say. There was a couple different theories about who they were talking to.
Themselves.
Probably the most famous one is, you know, the one when they were kind of just starting to hear these noises. And as they heard the noises, they started to communicate with whatever it was. And they did that by rapping and tapping. So that's kind of how, you know, their whole popularity started. And, you know, I think we have to at least credit the Fox sisters with the rise of the spiritualist movement in this country. And then also, you know, bringing that over to Europe and having the spiritualist movement rise up there too. And we're talking about 1850s. You know, that's the big thing to remember in this whole discussion too.
So it was quite a while ago.
Right. This is not like modern day.
No.
You know, technique.
Yeah.
But table tipping was like a Victorian thing that happened, and then it kind of went away and went out of fashion or style. And then it became popular again in, I want to say, like maybe the 2000s, early 2000s. And
like with the boom of
ghost hunting.
Ghost hunting.
Yep, pretty much. And, you know, I mean, there's like anything. There's a right way and a wrong way to do it. And it can be dangerous. You know, it's just like using a Ouija board. You don't know what you're necessarily going to get, who you're talking to. People have been injured by tables, flipping and landing on their feet, things like that.
Yeah, I could see that.
So, you know, I mean, it's not something to take lightly.
I don't know how we were never injured by a table.
I don't know either, but we came close a couple times.
Yeah. Whether it's real or not, or whatever everyone wants to think about it.
Yep. Do not pin.
Yeah. Oh my God. I forgot about all these things.
This is going to be so triggering for you, this whole episode.
Do not pin.
Yep. This whole episode is going to be so triggering.
Okay, break.
Yep. Break. So, you know, the main thing is that you need a table of some sort. We've done this with big, huge wooden tables at libraries. We've done it with end tables. We've done it with a glass top table. I don't know if you remember that.
I do. That was
pretty nerve-wracking.
Yep.
So, you know, you need some sort of table. The old seance Victorian tables were usually like the three-legged tables or something like that. But it doesn't have to be. You just need a table.
I remember we were always looking for a three-legged table. Yes. And I don't think we ever found one.
I don't think so either. I don't really think they make them. I know we had like end tables that had just like one, like the one leg in the middle of it, you know, with like the feet on the bottom. Yeah. We use tables like that, but lots of different kinds of tables.
I always found the heavier ones the most interesting.
Yeah.
Because like, how are you going to move that?
Right. It's hard.
Yeah.
So the main thing to do is that you find a table, you find a place you want to do it in. A lot of times people do it in haunted locations or places that they know have high spiritual, you know, energy. And everybody sits at the table and, you know, don't get mad that I'm not going to use they, them pronouns, but I feel like we always have just said boy, girl, when we've sat at the table.
This is a different time when we were table.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they, them would have been welcome too.
Yeah, we don't care.
No, we absolutely do not care, but just for the sake of talking about it. So we would sit and then everyone would just put their hands on the table and kind of spread your fingers out. And somebody would lead the session and kind of just talk everybody through like a meditation, clear your mind kind of thing, and then start asking questions and see what happens. Sounds so simple.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
It was.
But what we saw the tables do was not simple and still kind of, I think, defines a little bit of logical explanation in some circumstances.
Yeah. Like there are a few things that still nag me about all of our ghost hunting days that I couldn't explain fully. Because I'm like, I got to. There's got to be something.
For sure, it's right?
Like, come on. You know, the table can fly across the room by itself.
So the first time that you ever sat at the table, I mean, you had watched it a bunch of times before you sat for the first time, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember where you did it for the first time?
Iron Island.
Yep. And like,
in the basement.
You were like, all right, fine. I guess I'll get into this.
Well, in the basement's where I saw it the first time. I don't remember where. I think
it was Rolling Hills. I think that was the first time you sat at
where
a table.
I actually sat at one. It may have been. Because I remember seeing it in the basement of Iron Island at first. And I was like, what is this shit?
Yeah. We used to just do it with a folding table.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was like, okay, who's moving the table?
Four people. It was just like a rinky-dink little, like, I don't know.
Yeah, it was like a
square,
like,
folding table.
Yeah, one of those pop-up tables.
Yep. And sometimes we would do it with two people. Sometimes we do it with four people. But, you know, the thing was always that we had to make sure that there was room because the table would start to move. And I mean, there were times when the table would like be moving so fast we couldn't keep our hands on it.
Yeah.
That's hard to explain.
It is. Like, how is it moving? And like literally, my fingernails would touch it. That's it. And I intentionally did that.
I feel like people used to try to intentionally do all sorts of things to disprove it. You know, be the cooler, quote unquote, because that was always the thing, right? Like, you kind of have to feel the energy, I guess. And I don't know if everyone does it the same way that we would do it, but sometimes we'd operate with, you know, like a person that acted as a battery.
Yep.
So that energy could be drawn from that, especially if the energy wasn't real palatable in, you know, the space we were in. But there were definitely times when people would like come and watch and be like, oh yeah, that's a bunch of crap. And then the next thing you know, they're sitting at the table and the table's moving and they're like, can't keep their hands on it and don't know how to react.
Remember that little, not that little guy, that, what am I going to call him? That diva from Ghost Hunters that saw us table tipping that one time.
Yeah.
He didn't say anything,
yeah.
But then he tweeted about it behind everyone's back.
Like we were at Fort Erie.
Yeah.
Yeah. At Fort Niagara.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And
I forget who he was, but he was on Ghost Hunters.
Yeah. I think he was with some chick too from.
Yeah. I don't remember who.
I want to say it was like Amy Bruni, but maybe not.
I don't know.
That was a long time ago, but yeah.
It was.
Yeah. Because, you know, that's not credible.
Yeah.
I know. But you're on a show that faked everything.
Yeah.
But that's so much more credible.
Let the cameraman make this. It's a ghost.
Yeah. And here we are with like three of us around this table in a fort from, you know, the 1700s that suddenly is making this table jostle all around.
Well, my thing is too, like, yeah, if you think it's crap, that's fine. Because I did too. And I kind of, you know, I still question it. Who are you going to go and tweet behind everyone's back? Go get involved. Investigate it for yourself, Mr. Ghost Hunter.
It's like what you're supposed to do, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So why did you think, I mean, like, I guess like, let's just talk about it. So why did you think that it was, you just thought like everybody was working in cahoots together to move the table simultaneously in the same direction?
No, I thought maybe one specific person was.
So I think it's important to note in that scenario, we used to switch people out. I don't know if you remember, but especially if we were at like a public hunt or.
But usually it was always one person leading it.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And I think part of that is because there's a way to open the table for communication and there's a way to close the table for communication. And it's sort of like when you're using a Ouija board, you don't just leave it open-ended. You know, you got to close off the connection. The table works the same way. So it was always usually, I mean, there was probably a group of three or four of us that would start the sessions. And, you know, that kind of came passed down from a medium that we worked with.
Yeah, I only really remember, three or four probably.
Mm-hmm.
But so, out of our main group, there was like two.
Yeah.
You being one of them.
Yep. Well, you got to learn how to consecrate the table. And it's really funny because when I was writing my notes up for this episode, I was like, what did I used to say to start the session? Like, I couldn't even remember.
Wasn't it just consecrate this table?
I consecrate this table for the purpose of spirit communication. Yeah. And then we would close it at the end. So usually there's like that one person that's consistent, but the rest of the people we would switch out. And sometimes we'd have to switch it out just because people were tired.
Yeah.
You know,
especially if they were the battery.
Yeah. Like they couldn't keep doing it. Like you had to have somebody else sit. So in theory, you were kind of like, okay, this one person is controlling everything. But then you sat at a table and you were like, no.
I was like, I'm making sure I'm not going to do anything myself.
Didn't we even like set up a camera to like watch people's knees at one point?
That's like one of the first things I did. Well, the first time I saw it, I was like, hang on, where's my camera? And I got out my camera and I put it down low to see like if someone was knocking into it underneath the table or, you know, cover every angle.
But nobody was.
No. It's still, it's tough, you know, to say what it was exactly for someone so skeptical like me. But I mean, I've sat at tables with just you and like Cheryl, and I've seen it go. And I'm like, okay, that's interesting because, you know, no matter else, like anybody else that was doing it, the two of you, I trust completely.
Yeah.
Anybody else, I could doubt it with just not being able to trust them fully. But it's like, that was kind of crazy.
Well, and again, it's like in order for somebody to be faking it, I mean, because you would feel the table, right? And sometimes the table would tip. Sometimes the table would jostle. Sometimes the table would spin. You know, it would do all these things. And it's like, if everybody else has their hands on the table, I don't know, in theory, if you could really make the table do those things.
Yeah, and when we say
hands, just one person.
Hands on the table, too, like, I know for myself and, like, I think most everybody else, we're not, like, full palm down on the table. We're, like, I'm talking tips, yep. Fingertips.
Yep.
That's it. Just, like, the lightest touch you could possibly get.
So and, go ahead.
I was going to say, I remember, like, the first time I sat at the table, the thing that I thought was the strangest is that, like, when the table starts to move, you feel, like, the slight vibrations at first.
Mm-hmm.
And what got me was I thought that when I sat at it, I'd be able to pinpoint who was doing it mm-hmm. by where the movement was coming from. But the thing that was always strange is like the movement was always coming from the dead center of the table.
So, you know, the whole idea of putting your hands on the table is because when the table is open for communication and everybody is sitting, you're channeling the energy around you into the table is what gets the table to move. So in Victorian times, they thought that was like ectoplasm or some kind of like fluid that would come through and, you know, all these weird things. But in later years, and I think especially when we were doing it, like the theory we worked with is that you're always working on the energy. You're asking, you know, for that energy to come in for the purpose of communicating and using this table as a method to do that. So we would use yes, no questions, but then we also would go through the alphabet yep. at times. And I think one of the most unique experiences I ever had table tipping was at one of our libraries yeah. that we used to investigate at. And it was a glass top table. And we were very nervous about using it, but we were like, well, you know, let's just try it. Let's see what's going to happen. And as we were starting to get some things happening, we were trying to figure out who was there. And we were calling out like names of people that we knew, spirits that were potentially in the, you know, vicinity of the library, and we weren't getting any good responses on that. So we started going through the alphabet
mm-hmm.
and we would say a letter, see if the table reacted. And by reacted, I mean tip, because yeah. it was like up on one leg yep. and then back down again.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember this, but there was like one part how the table just kind of like
flipped up and
stopped. Yep, yep. And just like stood there. And we were like, oh my God. Like,
yeah.
And then it just came down like so gently and delicately, mm-hmm. which is like, how would you even try to control that?
Yeah.
But we were all worried because it was a glass top table mm-hmm. and we were like, oh my God,
yeah.
this table's going to be wrecked. So as we were going through and getting the hits on the letters, we came up with a name, and it happened to be the name of somebody who was in the room with us whose mom had passed.
Yeah. Someone so, that wasn't in our group.
Yep.
But was like with the library and like yep. we had no idea.
So the sister of one person, the mother of another person connected yeah. to two people in that room. And we had no idea, like you said, who that was. We had no idea what their name was. And it was very clear that this is what was spelled out.
Yeah. I didn't know anything. I didn't even know, you know, they had lost anybody at the time.
No. You know? I mean, how would we know that? Because we're not trying to connect with people in the room. We're trying mm-hmm. to connect with spirits that are at that location.
And none of them were at the table too, we should point out.
That's true. Yep. They were just kind of sitting and watching.
Yeah.
So yeah. really strange.
That was the one that I remembered the most, like when we said we were going to do this topic. That was like one of the first ones that came to my mind. Because that was interesting.
Yep. Because I think that's the only time we ever really used like the ABC method and it actually worked really well.
Yeah.
You know, we had used it, I think, a couple other times. I don't know if you remember the session that we had at Van Horn when we were starting to use the table. And right before we did, a folding chair folded itself up.
Yep.
It's freaking crazy. I still to this day, like, can't even believe that that happened.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
So remember, like, we weren't even sitting. We were standing at the table.
Yeah.
And there was just like a folding chair over to the side. And as soon as we started to like open the table for communication and get everything like set and ready, all of a sudden the chair just folded itself right up. So freaking weird.
Some weird shit that happened when
yeah.
the table tipped.
Yep.
Probably because you're opening up like that line of communication. It's kind of like in the same vein of like,
well,
like
sure.
you said, a Ouija board or like a seance.
Yep.
Or like, what's the other one? Like trance kind of. Like,
yep.
Yeah.
I mean, your transfiguration.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
You're pulling in energy. That's the whole purpose of it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can imagine that that whole space would just be.
It's like a vacuum.
Electric,
mm-hmm.
you know, with everything floating around in it because of that. So, you know, a lot of people will look at this and go, oh, I mean, somebody's got to be doing it. It can't really be real. You know, you see Ouija boards, and I'm even skeptical of the Ouija board, only because the planchette is so small.
Yeah.
That it takes like no effort whatsoever to be able to move it.
Pick it up in your hand. You can't really lift a 400-pound table.
Yes.
With one hand.
Yeah. Or have it like spin around on one leg while you're like literally running and chasing and trying to keep your hand on it.
Even those folding tables, which we used, I think, a majority of the time. Mm-hmm. Like now that I'm old and I have a house and I have those folding tables, every time I got to take them out, I'm like, oh, this friggin' thing's heavy. You know?
Used to carry that to location to location.
Yeah.
I think we even had like, that was like the designated table. Did it break? I think?
I'm sure. Didn't we go through several?
I think we did. There was a couple of them that ended up breaking.
I seem to remember someone taking one back to Walmart after shortly buying it and being like, oh, the leg's broken. And they're like, huh, never seen that before.
Yeah. Well, we didn't do it. Somebody did it.
Yeah.
So I thought that this was kind of an interesting point with this, too, is that when I was going back through and reading some stuff about, you know, just like the table tipping and the spiritual movement that happened and all that kind of stuff, it's like I came across this quote that said, the more you do it, the more tuned in you become. And it made me think of you because I remember like your spidey sense starting to kick in a lot more. And I wonder if that corresponded with like how much table tipping we were doing.
I think that definitely was part of it.
You know, because like you're so much more aware of everything. And it's like anything else. You get into that mode of like pulling the energy in and looking for that communication that it's like, you know, you go from somebody who's like complete skeptic and like not believing anything to being like, yeah, I saw that shadow in the corner.
Yeah. I miss my spidey sense. It's long gone.
It's all gone?
It's long gone, sadly.
I don't know. But I feel like you could probably get it back if you wanted it.
Yeah. I feel like that's why I was never a good battery though, too, because like I was always trying to like focus on pulling energy in, but at the same time, I'm like, who's faking the shit and like paying attention to everything around me.
That was always my favorite is like when we would do stuff with people that hadn't done it before that thought it wasn't going to be real.
Yeah. It's such a bizarre experience to go from seeing it to sitting at the table. It's like two completely different experiences.
Yeah. And again, like in order for somebody to be faking that, everybody would have to know like, okay, the table's going to shift this way. The table's going to shift that way. The table's going to do this, this, and this. It's like, there's no way to predict or to get four people unless like you got them together ahead of time and you were like, okay, so the table's going to tip left, then the table's going to tip right, which I mean, I guess you could in theory, you know.
That would be really hard to like choreograph. So yeah. I feel like even if you were trying to fake it.
For sure. I mean, I think that some of like the Victorian seance stuff was probably like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they probably had a set thing that they would do over and over again, especially at like the shows and the physical demonstrations.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously a lot of that stuff wasn't real because a lot of it was debunked. And
they had like set places that they would do things in. So like they had like their whole place rigged up for stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas we're just grabbing a folding table that we get at Walmart that night and going to different places every night.
Yep. And like, you know, back in Victorian times, they would describe the tables as levitating up off the ground, you know, and like doing these kinds of like weird things that we never saw tables do.
We never saw one fully take off. I think a couple came pretty close just by like centripetal force of how fast it was going.
So dangerous things that can happen. You can have it land on you.
Yeah.
You can get pinned by it, especially when it's moving pretty quickly.
Yeah.
That was always something we had to be worried about. You know,
trip over things, run into people, hit walls.
Yeah. I mean, because you've got to think, too, you're usually in a darkened spot. I mean, not total darkness, because we would always do it with some ambient light somewhere.
Oh, this brings back memories, too. The highest pressure part about table tipping is when you're not at the table and you're the person in charge of moving the chairs. Once shit starts flying around.
Oh, my God. That's true. I forgot about that, because that was always the first thing.
Yep.
Somebody would be like, okay, we're up. And then you'd have it's to like kick the chair out.
You got those two chairs. I'll get those two chairs.
Yeah, so nobody got hurt.
Yep.
Which, again, is like unpredictable, right?
Yeah.
How do you know when stuff is going to happen? And then once the session either started to come down or got too dangerous, we would always stop it before it got out of hand. Yeah.
Yep.
Or if people were starting to get too tired, like you can tell people are just like exhausted from
that happened a lot.
What was happening,
mm-hmm.
which is another reason why we had to switch people out a lot.
I always thought it was like the craziest when the table would just like, you know, it was going, but then like it would just go in one direction, like randomly, especially when it would come towards me when I was at the table. I'm like, I'm not pulling this thing towards me. And it would just fly in one direction. And
yeah. Or it would start to hop.
Yeah.
Remember like when the tables would hop?
Yeah.
It was like the weirdest thing. It would literally up and down.
It was like.
Yeah. And then you'd just be like, oh, I don't know how this is going to go.
Yep.
But I think that maybe for us, I feel like we just started to rely on it too much.
Yeah, because it was like, I mean,
it's fun.
I feel like, yeah, it was.
You know,
because it's like you go somewhere, you sit in a dark place for 3 hours and nothing happens, just asking stupid questions over and over again. And then you get this table and all of a sudden you're jogging across the room. It's flying all over the place. And I always found that interesting because I'm like, we'd go to a place and you'd be dead.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden the table comes out and it's alive.
Yeah. I mean, I can.
And I think, too, like when I said it was like similar to like a seance and like the Ouija board, like I said, I think also maybe it's similar to like the spirit box. Because you're calling, because I feel like you're calling things in that might not necessarily be tied to that place.
Yep.
Whereas where everything else you do, it is, you know?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Is that kind of how it works?
Yeah. Well, we always used to remember we would, during sessions, we would ask if spirits were there in visitation or if they belong to that location.
Or a person.
Yeah, because it can pull things in. And it makes sense if it was like a quiet night and nothing was going on and then we started table tipping and things got going because you got like you're bringing that energy in. You're bringing your own energy.
Yeah.
Because we always used to tell people, don't sit if you are in a bad mood. Don't sit if you had road rage on your way here. You know, we always would try to make sure you were in like a good headspace for it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're bringing your own junk into everything just like we always do anyway.
Yep.
You know, you don't want that idiot that's sitting at the table trying to provoke whatever it is because somebody really could get hurt.
There was a few times where things got kind of interesting like that.
Yeah.
Like at the Nick, I think. Wasn't there one time when they kept trying to pin us?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Flipped over on its side and almost like took out somebody's toes.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, just not always like great experiences, but how many places do you think we probably table tipped at?
Oh, geez.
If you had to guess, rough estimate.
Probably like 20 or more.
Yeah. I would say the same.
I'd say over 20. It's probably the good odds.
So the first couple times you saw it, you were like, this can't be real.
Yeah. I was like, absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
I was like, absolutely not. This is fake.
So it was easy to just be like, yeah, this can't be really happening. Even though these people don't know each other that are sitting at this table and these things are happening. And
I didn't know those people that well yet at that point. And even knowing some of them now, I'm like, well, maybe. But like when I sat at the table, like I said, like with like you and Cheryl.
Yeah.
Or like you and Jeff. It's like I trust that. You know, I know I'm not faking it. I know you guys aren't faking it.
Well, that's like the whole, and it's crazy because there's only three of you.
Yeah, and which we have done.
You can still get the same reaction from the table as if there was five people sitting.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, again, like it's got to have something to do with the energy that you're pulling in. 100% it does.
Yeah.
But I do feel like it's not for everyone.
No.
Mm-mm. And even starting those sessions and closing them and being in charge of those sessions, like, it's not for everyone. You know, people that are prone to attachments, prone to maybe some mental health stuff, really not a great idea to just be randomly table tipping at places trying to get spirit communication going.
You got to know how to have, like, that unofficial armor up, I guess.
We always used to say, like, don't be the chink in the armor.
Yeah.
Don't be the one.
Really understood until like Hinsdale when it was explained to me very well.
Did we table tip at Hinsdale?
No, I don't think so.
It's probably smart that we didn't try to do that there. But lots of other places for sure.
Yep. The episodes like this make me want to unretire from ghost hunting and go table tip somewhere.
I still have like video of table tipping sessions.
I'm sure I do too somewhere.
I mean, I feel like, you know, we would record them a lot just because of the fact that people wouldn't always believe them. And it was like, well, if you want to see it, here you go.
Yeah, I think if I wasn't sitting at the table, I was always recording them just because. And like we said, seeing them and sitting at the table, that was completely different.
Yeah.
You know, even with me getting them at all angles, like above, like below the table, everywhere, every which way you could think of.
I don't know if people are even still really doing this anymore. I feel like the fad kind of ran itself out again.
Like table tipping or yeah. ghost hunting in general?
Well, both, but definitely, you know, the table tipping. I see that, so there's obviously, Lilydale is not too far from our Parababble studio. And Lilydale is known as the town that speaks to the dead.
Yeah.
And they are, you know, the birthplace of the spiritualist movement, probably in, you know, this part of the country. And they still hold a Victorian seance and do table tipping every year. But I don't know how, I've never been to it.
No.
So I don't know if it's meant to be like a real honest session or if it's more just like in the custom
production,
of.
Yeah, like an honorary.
Yeah, yeah,
thing,
for sure.
You know? Yeah. I mean, I remember at one point, like we were table tipping so much, like even when we weren't table tipping, like if it was like somewhere where we had to stay overnight or whatever, it'd be like the next morning and like we'd all be sitting at the table and we'd be careful because we're like touching the table and like, oh, what are we doing? It starts moving, you know? We'll be out to breakfast the next morning or at dinner that night and at a restaurant and like put our hands on the table and it starts vibrating.
But I feel like, again, it's like the more you do it, the more in tune you get to it, the mm-hmm. easier it is to pull that energy in. It's like it doesn't necessarily matter where you even are then.
Yeah.
It's like you're using that same core group of people. And it really was. Like we would switch it out if we were at like a public event.
Yeah, so people could see it for themselves.
Yep. But for the most part, I feel like our core group was always the same, you know, people.
Yeah.
So you get used to that energy. You know, it's like, it's hard to explain. If you've never been ghost hunting and you never have done that on a regular basis, like you can walk into a pitch dark room and you just kind of know like who's there.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I don't mean ghosts. I mean the people in your group.
Yeah, I think because you have to be so aware of everything
right.
else.
Very rarely would you walk in and be like thinking there was nobody there. Like you would know like, oh, somebody's sitting over there.
Yeah.
Or there's a person over that way because you get in tune to like reading almost like the energy from people.
Yeah. And then sometimes you'd read the energy and you'd be like, what is that?
You there's know? Nobody there. Yeah. I know I'm the only one here right now.
There's nobody, but there's somebody.
There's nobody here right now.
Yeah, exactly. That was always the best. See, I do miss my spidey senses sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll just have to like get you out in an environment where you got to use them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not?
Like we're an old haunted library in the middle of the night.
Yes. And I mean,
or museum.
Those buildings are still there.
They are.
I feel like, you know, there's got to be something to them still, right?
Yeah.
Didn't just like the ghost didn't go away because people stopped ghost hunting.
If anything, they're bored now and they're probably more eager to come out and say hi.
So I think the main thing to kind of take away from this is that table tipping is just another tool that you can use, just like a Ouija board or, you know, I don't know. We used a rug with an alphabet on it.
Oh, yeah.
At one investigation.
Like those ones in like kindergarten rooms.
Yeah. Remember that? Mm-hmm. We were just going around to the alphabet the same way that we did, you know, with anything else. So, you know, dowsing rods, things that people use while they're out doing investigations, it's just another tool.
Yep.
The main thing to remember is you should always open and close a session, never leave them open, and just be mindful that you don't always know exactly who you're talking to.
Exactly. Might not be who they say they are.
Might be a little girl. Might be an old man.
Or a demon.
Or a demon.